Adito. Was la Nani che faccia?
Gobakumar.
Just came back from Goloka. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Devotees, how wonderful to be with you. Again, at least many of you. Again. How nice. Have you had a blissful day in Krishna consciousness at work? It was sort of a joke, actually. You didn't get it. Anyway, did you have a nice day? Did you chant your rounds? Who has finished their rounds? Have you finished your rounds? Very good. 16. Very good. Well done. Okay, devotees, Hare Krishna. Let us read another verse from Srimad Bhagavatam this evening from a different place and continue with some things about Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So this evening, let us read Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8. Lord Krishna shows the universal form. Let us see about reading a few verses, actually. But let us begin, I think, with verse 28. 10, 8. 28, yeah, I think so. Krishnasya gopyo ruchiram vikshako mara chapalam shrinrantya kilatan matur iti hochu samagata. Translation. Observing the very attractive, childish restlessness of Krishna, all the gopis in the neighborhood, to hear about Krishna's activities again and again, would approach Mother Yashoda and speak to her as follows. Let's read verse 29. I don't know, the Sanskrit looks pretty complicated, let's see. Stayam swad vat yata dadipaya kalpitai staya yogai. Markan Bokshyan Vibhajati Sachin Nati Bandam Binati Dravyalape Sagriha Kupito Yat Yupakrosya Tokan. Let me just see here. Okay. Yeah, I can't see what the rhythm is meant to be for that one. So this is now the gopis means actually the married ladies, the mothers, the older gopis, approaching Mother Yashoda. And why are they approaching her? Because they want to hear about Krishna's activities again and again. That's why they're approaching. So let's see what they say. Our dear friend Yashoda, your son sometimes comes to our houses before the milking of the cows and releases the calves. And when the master of the house becomes angry, your son merely smiles. Picture this in your minds, in your heart of hearts. Sometimes he devises some process by which he steals palatable curd, butter, and milk, which he then eats and drinks. When the monkeys assemble, he divides it with them. And when the monkeys have their bellies so full that they won't take more, he breaks the pots. Sometimes, if he gets no opportunity to steal butter or milk from a house, he will be angry at the householders. And for his revenge, he will agitate the small children by pinching them. Then, when the children begin crying, Krishna will go away. Let's see now. Okay, how to read the translation. When the milk and curd are kept high on a swing hanging from the ceiling, and Krishna and Balaram cannot reach it, they arrange to reach it by piling up various planks and turning upside down the mortar for grinding spices. Being quite aware of the contents of the pot, they pick holes in it. While the elderly gopis go about their household activities, Krishna and Balaram sometimes go into a dark room, brightening the place with the valuable jewels and ornaments on their bodies, and taking advantage of this light by stealing. We mentioned yesterday, Krishna is the chief of the Makan Mafia. Yes, dangerous man. And another verse, I'll just read the translation. When Krishna is caught in his naughty activities, the master of the house will say to him, "Oh, you are a thief," and artificially express anger at Krishna. Krishna will then reply, "I am not a thief, you are a thief." Sometimes, being angry, Krishna passes urine and stool in a neat, clean place in our houses. Hare Krishna. But now, our dear friend Yashoda, this expert thief is sitting before you like a very good boy. Sometimes all the gopis would look at Krishna sitting there, His eyes fearful, so that his mother would not chastise him. And when they saw Krishna's beautiful face, instead of chastising him, they would simply look upon his face and enjoy transcendental bliss. Mother Yashoda would mildly smile at all this fun, and she would not want to chastise her blessed transcendental child. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pichayane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Prasthityade Shatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bunch of Kapitrubias, Tapu, Sindhu, Pilcha. Adidana, Pavane, Bion, Vaishna, Bion, Namonama. Vaishna, Bion, Namonama. There's just a few little verses there. Krishna's childhood, early childhood pastimes. It's chapter 8 of the 10th canto. Krishna has just not long before started to crawl and then after a little while walk. And when Krishna started walking, he started creating mischief. I think many of you have experience with the different phases children go through as they grow up. And you'll probably know when they start walking, then they start doing naughty. They're more able to do things they shouldn't do. Yes, so it was like that with Krishna. We mentioned last night, you remember, why Krishna would steal the butter. It is not simply a matter that it was his favorite foodstuff. Like, you know, you may have your favorite foodstuff. What's your favorite prasadam? Lovely. What's your favorite prasadam? Pizza? Samosa? She's shy. I'm sorry. Don't matter. Just relax. But, yeah, okay. What's your favorite prasadam, Lali? What do you like?
Khichdi.
Khichdi. That's interesting. Very good.
So simple.
And what's Radhanath's favorite prasadam? Okay, they're a bit too small to get into the things.
Got to think about it.
Think about it, okay. Well, what's yours?
Oh, I love ground potatoes.
Wow. You know what? When they ask me, what would you like for Ekadasi? I say, anything's fine as long as it's Garanga potatoes. So Krishna, it's not just that he likes the taste of the butter and therefore he can eat kilos of it. But there's that special element there, which we talked about last night, the love. So much love has gone into that butter. And he just wants to taste the love. There's a nice story, I think it's Ramavaivanta Purana. Some of you may be familiar with it. Krishna was going out to steal the butter. Well, he was going house to house, stealing the butter. And there was one older lady, a little crabby. You understand crabby? Just a little, you know. She would get angry a little easily, yeah. And you know, Krishna would steal the butter. And she, every time, she would get a bit upset about it. Normally, the ladies would be happy because actually they wanted Krishna to have the butter. But this one, somehow she'd get a little agitated. So one day she ambushed Krishna. She hid, and Krishna came to steal the butter, and she grabbed him. And then she dragged him down the road to Mother Yashoda, to Nanda Maharaj, and Mother Yashoda's house. And she's dragging him, and he's trying to resist. So she's heading this way, and she's sort of pulling him behind her. Little did she realize, Krishna transformed himself as she's dragging him. Krishna transformed himself into the same shape as her own son, her own small son. But she didn't notice. She thought she's dragging Krishna along. So she got to Mother Yashoda's house, knocked on the door. Mother Yashoda came to the door. And this lady, she's still not looking around. Krishna is just sort of a little behind her. She's still holding on to him. And she said, "You know what this rascal did?" She's just pointing behind her. "He was stealing butter and I caught him. And I want to see you chastise him. I want to see it." And Mother Yashoda's looking. And she sees, apparently, it is that lady's own son. And she said, Mother Yashoda said, "You know, Mataji, I think there's some mistake. Just have a look." So the lady turned around and she saw it's apparently her own son. Oh, she felt so embarrassed, and she apologized, and off she went with apparently her own son. But then Krishna, on the way home, back to that lady's house, Krishna transformed himself back into Krishna. And then they're walking along. Krishna pulled on the lady's hand. She looked down and she saw, it's Krishna. What's going on? What's happening? What's happening to me? Am I becoming a little crazy? And Krishna spoke to her very strongly, you know, with his head down, very serious. "Listen, Mataji, just listen to me, okay? You don't do that again. You don't do that again. You do that again, I will change into your husband. Then you'll really make a fool of yourself." Yes, I think it's Brahma Vaidanta Purana. And, but oftentimes, well, sometimes the ladies, you know, they want Krishna to take the butter, but sometimes they complain, as we read here. Sometimes they would complain, so it's kind of unusual consciousness. But sometimes if they would take Krishna over, having caught him, to Mother Yashoda, sometimes they would tell Mother Yashoda, "We caught him. You must chastise him. We want to see." And Mother Yashoda would start chastising him. And the other lady, now looking at Krishna, being chastised, and little Krishna, he's getting chastised. And tears start coming from his little eyes. He's looking very sort of... And the lady would become just so fascinated with just dear little Krishna. And he's sort of very defenseless. And he's getting chastised. And she'd then tell Mother Yashoda, "Don't speak to him like that. He he's a good boy. Be nice to him. And Mother Yashoda would say, but you asked me to chastise him. I'm doing what you said. And the lady would say, no, 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 I didn't mean that. And Mother Yashoda would say, well, at least, I will not allow him to come to your house again. Don't worry. And the lady would say, no, no, let him come any time, it's all right. So life was going on like this in Gokula, in Vrindavan. Very extraordinary, very beautiful, very amazing. So I wanted to tell you this evening one little story, seeing we're talking about Vrindavan Leela. I wanted to tell you the story, and again, well, like so many of these stories, you may already be familiar with them. But Prabhupada said, repetition of a good thing is good. So if you've heard this story or any of the others before, which you may well have done, then don't worry about it too much. So, yes, now this story, this is from Nandagram. Nandagram. That means the last few years that Krishna was in Vraja, in the Vrindavan area, immediately before he left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. So yeah, this is the story of Akshaya Tritiya. You know what Akshaya Tritiya is, right? The day? Yes? Hanji or Hanji? You don't know Akshaya Tritiya? It comes usually in May. And it is the day, at least in India, Bharat May, where they do all the weddings. You know that day? They just do all the weddings. And people open businesses. Yeah? Akshaya Tritiya. It is the special day for starting new things, new projects and endeavors in life. I know on Akshaya Tritiya, at least around Delhi, I've been there a few times on Akshaya Tritiya, and all, you know, these wedding gardens, places they have, they're packed out. They are just packed out because there's so many weddings. So, okay, it was Akshaya Tritiya. It's in May. It's just before or around the time Chandan Yatra starts. Summer. It's coming into summer. So anyway, Lord Krishna came into the kitchen at Nandagram. And what did he see? He saw Mother Yashoda was in the middle of cooking, deep frying, and not with your one teaspoon, you know, your special frying machine. You should see his machine. You can deep fry with one teaspoon of oil. You don't believe it, do you? I didn't think you'd believe it, but it's true. He did it today. I experienced it. So anyway, but Mother Yashoda was deep frying and some other things, you know, some other processes, producing all sorts of, we would say in English, snacky prasad. Snacky prasad. What would you say in Gujarati or Hindi? Huh? You know, samosa kachori. If you're Gujarati, dokra. Dokra.
In Gujarati, you say farsan.
Farsan. Farsan ni prasad. Yeah. Like, we call it in South Africa paturi. We had it last night, you know, it's rolled, the little rolled up. Is it kan? You call it kanwa? Kanvi. South Africa, I don't know why they call it paturi. Rolled up little. Extremely nice. So, yeah, so she was making that. Dokra, kanvi, pakora, different pakoras. I don't want to disturb anyone, but cauliflower, gobi, aloo, baigan, palak, how about tamata, pakora? You make that sometimes? Tomato pakora? Very nice. You have to be a little careful, but it's very nice. How about sweet corn pakora? You got to be careful of that because they burst. And what other? What did we say? Oh, of course, paneer. Paneer pakora. Yes. How about layered paneer, tomato, and paneer in one pakora? We're not disturbing you, are we? Or any of you. And we could think of others. And samosas, all different types. You know, in South Africa, what's the favorite samosa? Meti and paneer. The meti herbs, you know? Oh, and paneer. It is. Well, actually, you know, I must say, in South Africa, the national samosa or kachori is sweet corn and paneer. Am I right? It's the national one. It is South Africa's contribution to Vedic cuisine. Sweet corn and paneer, samosa and kachori. So anyway, and all these things, pakori. You know what is pakori? You know pakori?
Without the filling.
No, it's something different. It's almost, it's a relative, like a cousin of a rasgulla. It's a sort of a sweet, but they call it pakori. They make it in Vrindavan. So, like I was saying, snacky prasad. What was the word again?
Farsan.
And dokra. And what in South Africa they call it meti cake. It's like dokra, but with meti. Mm. Yeah, Gujarati people make it. And sure, probably many other things that I can't remember just immediately. But all types of fasan. And normally, of course, whatever Mother Yashoda is cooking, it's for Krishna. And Krishna assumed it was. But he asked her, he didn't just grab it. He asked her, Mata, is this for me? And Mother Yashoda said, no, it is for your father, Nanda Maharaj, because he is going today on a long journey, and this is his fasan for the road. What would you say? Rasta ka fasan. Anyway, his prasad for the road. Snacky prasad. And Krishna, then Nanda Maharaj walked in and Krishna asked him, Pita, Where are you going, Peter? You going somewhere, Peter? Nanamahad said, yes. Today is Akshaya Tritiya, very auspicious day. And today, I am going to Prayag. And Krishna said, Peter, why are you going Prayag, Peter? Why are you going Prayag? And Nanda Maharaj said, because all year I've been performing material activity, just working to maintain my family. And in this way, I've incurred so much karma. So on this day, Akshaya Tritiya, I am going on a pilgrimage to that sacred place, Prayag, where is the confluence of the Ganges, Yamuna, and Saraswati. And I will bathe in those sacred waters and become free from all the karma, and then return feeling refreshed. And Krishna was not so happy that Nanda Maharaj was thinking better to go to some other place other than Vrindavan. Krishna was not happy, but he didn't really say anything. So Nanda Maharaj then took his bag of fasan and took Krishna, he took Krishna by the other hand and said, come with me down the hill. If you're familiar with Nandagram, you would know down the hill is Pavan Sarova. Very beautiful lake, very nice usually. Come with me. Let us go to Pavan Sarova, and before I leave, we will take bath, and then I'll go. So come with me, and we'll go down, we'll take bath. So they're walking down the hill. That partway down the hill, Krishna pulled on Nanda Maharaj's hand. Peter, give me one samosa, Peter. Just one samosa. And Nanda Maharaj said, no, I can't do that. I need all the prasad I can get. Because if I run out on the road, I will have to buy crisps. And that is not very good. So I must keep all the prasad. So he wouldn't give Krishna one samosa. They came down. Now they're on the banks of Pavan Sarova. They're about to go in. When they looked on the other side, and on the other side was a big, handsome man, very big and very powerfully built and beautifully dressed. Very opulent cloth and beautiful jewelry. And that man, that big man, he was on the other side there. Suddenly, he dived in Pavan Sarova. And he came out roaring with laughter. And he came out and he rolled in the dust on the banks of Pavan Sarova, just roaring with laughter. And then he dived in again. And Krishna said, Peter, who that man? I never saw him before. Who that man? And Nanda Rai said, I never saw him before either. Come, let's go speak to him. So they went over, they spoke to that man. And Nanda Maharaj said, my dear sir, please tell us, what is your good name? And the man, you know what the man said? My name is Prayag. Nanda Maharaj was taken aback. Prayag? What sort of name is that? How did you get such a name? And Prayag said, I am the personality of that sacred place where there is the confluence of the Ganges, Yamuna, and Saraswati. That is my place. I'm the deity of that place. And Nanda Maharaj said, oh, I see. Well, what are you doing here in Vrindavan on Akshaya Tritiya? And the man said, all year the pilgrims come and they bathe in my waters. And they leave all their karma on me. So one day in a year on Akshaya Tritiya, I come to Vrindavan. I come here to Pavan Sarova. I bathe in Pavan Sarova. I become free from all the karma left on me by all the pilgrims. And then I go back refreshed. And Nanda Maharaj was more or less speechless. All he could say was, he sort of grunted something. Oh. And then Prayag said, look around, Pavan Sarova, see? Look around. They looked around, and there were many of these big, handsome, opulent looking people, so many of them all around Pavan Sarova, and they're all bathing and coming out and rolling in the dust. And Prayag, he pointed out some of them. He said, you see that lady there in the blue and white sari with the brown, light brown pullover? You see her? She is the river Ganges. And you see the other one, the young one. You see the young one there. She is the river Kaveri. And you see the man with the red sports shirt. He is Bhadrik Ashram. And so he's pointing out, you see all these people, this is the personality of this place and that place and so many places. We all come here on Akshaya Tritiya, and we all bathe in Pavan Sarova. And this way we become free from all the karma left on us by all the pilgrims. And then we all go back to our places, feeling refreshed. Nanda Maharaj was speechless completely. He took Krishna by the hand. Come with me. Krishna said, Peter, you're going to Prayag now, Peter? You're going to leave now, Peter? You're going now? Nanda Maharaj said, no. And Krishna said, Peter, why are you not going, Peter? Why are you not going? And Nanda Maharaj said, I changed my mind. Peter, what you going to do, Peter? What you going to do now? I'm going to bathe in Pavan Sarova.
Yeah.
So they went back around, they bathed in Pavan Sarova, and then they started walking back up the hill, back home to Nandagram. And again, Nanda Maharaj is holding Krishna by the hand. In the other hand is his vasan. Yeah? Rustika vasan kijai. His prasadam for the road. They're walking there, sort of halfway up. Krishna pulled on his hand again. Peter. Listen, Peter, you just give me one samosa, Peter, just one samosa, only one, just one. Only. Samosa. Now. Gandharaj looked at the bag of prasadam for the road. He just gave it all to Krishna.
Yeah.
He said, you take it, I don't need it anymore. And you know what they say? They all lived happily ever after. So this is a very important story. In that, it shows very clearly that Vrindavan is the topmost spiritual place. It shows that Krishna, who is the deity of Vrindavan, is the topmost deity. It shows that Hare Krishna is the topmost mantra. It shows that the process of Krishna consciousness is the topmost process. It shows that the devotees are the topmost people. It shows that the literatures, the scriptures of Krishna consciousness are the topmost scriptures, and various other things. It shows very vividly that Krishna consciousness is the best. So we should remember that. We should remember that. You know, as you've probably guessed, I was not born in a Hindu family. Once I was in our main temple in Durban, and one elderly man came in, and we spoke for a few minutes, and I said, look, why don't you start coming regularly, get involved, come to the programs? And he said, yes, well, that's okay, but the problem is, he said, I am Tamil, and this means our temple. He said, this is a Hindi temple. They have such, in South Africa, they have such distinctions. Tamil temple, particularly Tamil, Hindi, Gujarati a bit. So yeah, I'm Tamil. This is a Hindi temple, so I won't fit in, he said. I said, listen, sir, look at me. Do I look like a Hindi to you? A Bihari or UP Walla? And he had to admit I had a point. But, yeah. So, this is the thing. Krishna consciousness is so wonderful and so universal and just the best all round for everyone. Of all types, it's the most wonderful process. So, So that's the story of Akshaya Tritiya. It's a nice story. We can learn from that. And of course there are many, you know, there are so many pastimes. We can just tell you some different pastimes. One day, Krishna and Srimati Radharani met near Govardhan, not far from Govardhan. It was the evening, the moon was there, and Krishna wanted to say something nice to please Radharani, sort of express his appreciation of her and not exactly flatter, but just make her feel appreciated. So Krishna's thinking, what should I say? What should I say? What should I say? And he looked up and he saw the full moon. And he thought, aha, that's what I'll say. So Krishna told Srimati Radharani, you are so beautiful. Your face is so beautiful. It's just like the full moon. And he was waiting for Radharani to say, oh, how sweet. That's so nice, thank you. But no, Radharani looked at the full moon. And what did she see? The full moon had spots. And she thought, oh, I see. Krishna is saying, I have a spotty face. Oh. And Srimati Radharani, she got so transcendentally angry. It's all transcendental. We should not mistake it for something mundane. But she became very transcendentally angry, and she just walked away. She just walked away. With Krishna following after her. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. Not like that. Now, I thought the full moon was nice, actually. I didn't notice the spots. But Radharani wouldn't listen. And then they came to Govardhan Hill. They're walking along the side of Govardhan Hill. And poor Krishna, he's trying to stop her, but she won't stop. She's trying to make her listen. She won't listen. And so they're just sort of moving along the side of the hill. At Govardhan, there at that time at least, there was one big cobra. And that cobra is a devotee. Very nice devotee. Although he's a cobra and a really big, like a 3 or 4 meter cobra. That's a serious cobra. So this cobra, he thought up a plan. He quickly went, sort of slithering along, and came around in front of Radharani as Radharani is going that way with Krishna following her. And then the cobra came, and the cobra lifted himself up, you know, like a couple of meters into the air, right in front of Radharani. And Radharani panicked. And what does Radharani do when she panics? She just cries out for Krishna. So suddenly, she forgot about being angry with Krishna. She just spun around, grabbed hold of Krishna. Krishna, save me, please. And Krishna, in a very brave way, said, don't worry, I will protect you. That sort of thing. So now Krishna's holding her. Krishna's still facing that way, the direction they were going. Radharani turned around. The snake is now looking back at Krishna, who's looking over the shoulder of Radharani. And the snake, you know what the snake did? It's a little difficult because you're on, you know, angles here. But the snake went. And Krishna, looking over his shoulder, went. Yes. That's the story of the snake who's a devotee. Then another time it was Ram Nomi. And Lord Krishna, but Jatila, the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani, would not allow Radharani out of the house. Krishna had to think up some strategy to somehow sneak in. So Krishna disguised himself as a girl who specializes in mehendi. You know mehendi? Mehendi? You know it? You do it sometimes? Just joking. You do it sometimes? Yeah, so Krishna came along, knocked on the door. I am the the Mandy specialist from Hastinapur. I do all the queens and princesses and any lady who is somebody important, I do them all. And I, he's speaking to Jatila, and I want to do your daughter-in-law's feet. So in came, so Jatila didn't recognize this is Krishna. She let him in, and Radharani sat down, put her feet out, and she's looking at this Mehendi specialist, thinking, don't I recognize this person? Haven't I seen this person before? Very dark-skinned, and about Krishna imitating a woman's voice. So, no, don't worry. Let me just do your feet. So Krishna, on the feet of Radharani, started writing Radhe Shyam. No, sorry. Started writing Shyam, 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 all around both her feet. And Radharani's trying to see, what are you doing there? But Krishna wouldn't say anything. Well, Krishna said, no, don't look, you can look later. And so he decorated her feet so nicely. And it was just Shyam, Shyam. Because Krishna feels like that. Krishna's names are Krishna. He's placing himself at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Yeah? Right on her feet. And then Radharani finally, she looked and she saw this and she thought, oh no. And she was happy, but she thought, oh no. What if my mother-in-law sees this? Oh, what is she going to say? Oh no. In came Jatila, the mother-in-law. And now the thing is, Jatila, fortunately, is half blind. And she saw something's written on Radharani's feet, but she couldn't see exactly what. And she asked, what is this? And Krishna said, I have written Ram, 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 because it is Ram Noli. And Jatila was so happy. That's wonderful. That's so wonderful. Thank you very much. There are many stories like that. But I think we're running out of time. So, devotees, there's just a few little stories about Vrindavan Leela. Any comments, questions, points? Any point? Yes.
Any more stories, Maharaj?
Well, okay. We'll tell you one. One time, Srimati Radharani and the Gopis, this is also when Krishna is staying in Nandagram. Srimati Radharani was married to Abhimanyu, staying in Yavat. It is about 3 or 4 kilometers across the fields. You can walk it. We walk it often to Nandagram, past Tirkadanda. So they're walking to Nandagram to cook for Krishna. Because they come, Radharani cooks for Krishna for breakfast and lunch every day. She walks, goes back, walks, goes back. So this is now in the middle of the day. She's going to cook lunch. Krishna only comes back, you know, like 4 or 5 o'clock in the later afternoon. So they're coming over. It's in the middle of the day, basically. Who should they meet on the path? Who should they meet but Durvasa Muni? You heard of Durvasa Muni? He's great sage, yogi, mystic, all that sort of thing. But not exactly a devotee. Certainly not a pure devotee at all. And he's sort of very marginal, actually. But he's definitely a yogi and a mystic and all that. So they met him on the road. And he stopped them. And he said, "My dear girls, I'm feeling so hungry. Please give me something to eat." Now the gopis, of course, they're going to cook. They've walked from home. They didn't bring any prasadam with them. They immediately became anxious. Because, you know why? Because Durvasa Muni, he, if you displease him, even slightly, he may curse you. Yes. You know, we do a seminar about the demons in Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. There's about, I think, 21. Half of them became demons because they were cursed by Durvasa Muni. I'm serious. I'm completely serious. He's that sort of person. He is what we call a serial cursor. So the gopis are in anxiety, you know. We're going to have to do this, otherwise he may curse us. So they said, "Yes, no problem. We will just run back home, gather up some nice prasadam. We will be back in 20 minutes. Just sit down, don't go away." Durvasa Muni said, "No, I want something now." They had nothing. What to do? Srimati Radharani picked up some dust from the ground, like a whole handful of dust, mixed some Yamuna water with it, and made like a mud patty, a little mud cookie. And she handed it to Durvasa Muni. "Here, take this." And Durvasa Muni looked at this. "You want me to eat mud? What is this?" But Radharani, you know, Radharani is very special. And the gopis, they all know that. So the gopis said to Durvasa Muni, "No, no, try it. She's very clever. Just give it a try and see." So he took little nibble of one corner. And what did he find? It was like nectar. And he ate the whole thing. And then he said, "Can I have some more?" So Radharani started making these mud cookies. And he was just devouring them one after the other. And in the end, he was so satisfied and just so pleased with Radharani. He blessed her. He gave her 2 blessings. "Whatever you cook will taste like nectar. And whoever eats your cooking will never become sick." When Mother Yashoda heard about this, these 2 blessings from Durvasa Muni, then she insisted Radharani must come every day. Of course, Radharani does not need some benediction from Durvasa Muni to be the topmost expert cook. She is already the topmost expert. You know, she cooks for Krishna every day, twice a day, usually. And ladies, listen to this, and gentlemen too, because you know what they say, gentlemen? Men make the best cooks. Hare Krishna. So, yes, Radharani. She has not repeated the same preparation. Every day, everything is something new and something just unbelievable. And by new, we do not mean that one day it is plain rice, the next day it is rice with peas, the next day it is rice with, you know, potato. The next day it is rice with something else. No. One day it is halava, just plain halava, suji. Next day it is halava with raisins. The day after that it is halava with sultanas. Not different in that sense, but different. Actually different. And she's been cooking like that for millions of years, and no one could say how long. I know in the Dwarkadish temple in Mathura, they have a Dwarkadish temple near Vishramghat. On Govardhan Puja Day, they call it Anakut, they generally offer not less than 3,000 preparations. Can you do 3,000 different preparations? Anyway, you know, something for the ladies to meditate on. Because it's such an important skill. It is such an important Vaishnava skill. Yes, so Radharani, she's the expert cook. So that's another story. It's a Yavat, or it's a Tirukadamba story. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Go Premanande.
Hare
Bol. Aplog sab ki jai. Okay, there you go. That's all for tonight. This is your house, Mataji. What's next?
Oh, I'm not sure. Really nectar. I mean, very rarely we get such a nectar.
You feel like we've been down.
Gosh.
If you're not
too tired. Who's your husband, if you don't mind me asking?
Sundar Govind Prabhu, but he has gone to temple today. He has a service. He should be here in another 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay, well, all right. I'll tell you another story. Let's hope it's not too long. Let's see. Okay. one time. Well, let me tell you a completely different type of story. I mean, actually, it's a long story, but Madhu Mangal, Krishna's funny Brahmin friend. Okay, anyway, yeah, that's just sort of... This is a story from Darshana. There's a place called Sankari Kaur. You may, if you've been there to Darshana, you would know Sankari Kaur. Narrow gully between Velaskar and the Morkutia Hill. So, Krishna and the cowherd boys were waiting at the top end. Radharani and the gopis came up from the bottom end, which is where the village of Chitradevi, Chiksoligram, is situated. So the gopis came up this narrow gully. It goes down into that village. So they came up from the village. And they came up, and who was there but Krishna and the cowherd boys. And Krishna and the cowherd boys, they were really in a sort of boisterous mood. They wanted some fun at the expense of the gopis. So they stopped the gopis and said, "We know who you are. You are criminals. You're sneaking around here on the back paths, trying to avoid the tax collecting booths in order to sell your dairy products on the black market. We know." Because they all had pots of yogurt, etc., on their heads, the gopis. So you pay us tax or we're going to smash your pots. So big argument developed. And the gopis tried to just push their way through Krishna and the cowherd boys, but they couldn't. Krishna and the cowherd boys pushed them back. A number of the pots of yogurt and milk and cream and so on got broken. And the gopis, they had to retreat back down to the village of Chitradevi. And they were really not happy. They wanted revenge. So they gathered reinforcements, hundreds of gopis, with pots. And on top of the pots, more pots. Have you seen that? Three, four pots piled up. Ooh. I once saw in a village called Didavali. It's past, anyway, it's out there somewhere. Two ladies, there's a well, and these older ladies are taking water in pots, and one lady had three, the other had four pots full of water on their heads. And they got into a fight, an argument. Whoa. And they were screaming at each other. And then one of the ladies gave the other lady a real slap. Bang. And the other lady, her head almost turned around 360 degrees. And she smashed the other lady. And then the other lady punched her. And then the other one punched her back. Whoa, it was wild. They didn't drop their pots. So the gopis gathered reinforcements, hundreds of gopis with many pots of dairy products on their heads, and came back up through Sankari Kaur. And there's Krishna and the cowherd boys just on the other side of the top. And they're in a good mood. Just see, we got those girls. who needs girls? What use are girls? They can't fight. You know, what use is a girl? They cry too easily. And then suddenly up come the gopis. But it's a narrow gully, so they're coming just one by one, although there was hundreds of them. And Krishna and the coward boys thought, wow, we are really going to have a good time now. But then they saw there's more gopis, and more, and more, and more, and more. And then there's 100, and then there's 200. And Krishna and the coward boys were surrounded by gopis, and then there were more gopis, and then even more. And the gopis started pouring their dairy products over Krishna and the cowherd boys, and particularly Madhu Mangal. Because Madhu Mangal, he's very funny. And when there's some little interaction with the gopis, he likes to make fun of the gopis. And, you know, sort of sneer at them, and say rude things to them. So a whole lot of the gopis surrounded Madhu Mangal, and they just poured and poured and poured. And Madhu Mangal was crying. You gopis, stop this. You're going to become guilty of the sin of drowning a Brahmin. But then they just poured more on Madhu Mangal. And the boys, they were just devastated completely. And the gopis went down, back down to the village, victorious. So the Krishna and the coward boys, then they wanted revenge. So they went down through the gully into the village of Chiksoligram, and they found the butter storehouse of Chitradevi's father, and they raided it. They went in, and they're just eating butter. And Radharani and Chitradevi walked past, and they saw this from the outside, and they locked them in. So now Krishna and the cowboys are in trouble. They're locked inside. What to do? Then they noticed up there is one small hole, like a small window sort of thing. And so one by one, they climbed through and escaped. The last one to go through was Madhu Mangal. So he got his head through okay, got his shoulders through, his chest more or less. When it came to his stomach area, he got stuck in this window, couldn't move. And he really pulled, he tried, but he couldn't get through. He was stuck in the window. He was stuck. And off went Krishna and the coward boys, they just ran away. And there's Madhu Mangal stuck. And the gopis came and opened up the storehouse. Ah, they all escaped. Oh no. Oh, but what's that in the window? Oh, it looks like it is someone's rear end. It is Madhu Mangal. So they got sticks and started beating on his head. And Madhu Mangala's head is outside. So Madhu Mangal, they're hitting him. Whack. Krishna! Whack. Help! Whack. Krishna! Whack. Help! But Krishna had gone. He'd already gone. It was too late. So the gopis grabbed his legs, pulled him back in, tied him up, and then marched him around on the other side of the village, if you've been there, you would know, there's a kund, actually very nice, beautiful place. Radha Sarova Krishna Kund. You can call it whatever you like, really. They took him there. They tied some string to his sika, threw it over the branch of a tree, and took it in turns to pull on his sika. And each time they pull, he's calling out, Krishna, help, Krishna, and he's crying. And then Krishna came, and Krishna chastised the gopis. Look at what you are doing. This is a paka brahma. You have committed big brahman aparad. You are finished. You are finished. If you don't apologize to him and serve him in whatever way he wants, I don't know what's going to happen to you. And Madhu Mangal said, I know what will happen to them. Each one of them will become the 99th wife of some old nasty man. That's what will happen to them. So the gopis came and fell at Madhu Mangal's lotus feet and begged him, please forgive us. What can we do to make up for this? And Madhu Mangal said, yes, that was a terrible aparad. The only thing which will help you is, I want 1 million laddus. No problem, no problem. So the gopis went running off back home. They gathered 1 million laddus and they came back. They sat Madhu Mangal on the throne and they started feeding him 1 million laddus. After about 10,000, he was feeling a little pacified. And then Madhu Mangal, when he's feeling happy, he starts giving blessings. So he asked one gopi, what would you like? And she said, can I have Krishna as my husband? Let it be. And then another gopi came with another 500 laddus. Would you like, is there something you would like? Can I also have Krishna as my husband? Yes, you can. So like this, Madhu Mangal got his 1 million laddus, and the gopis, each one of them, got his infallible blessing to have Krishna as their husband. And as they say again, they all lived happily ever after. Yes. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. And that's the end. Actually, how do you call it?